Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm actually actively doing right this second, which is hiring writers for my blog. I actually haven't had writers in a very long time, and we're going to discuss some of the reasons why I finally decided to hire some writers this time. But Tony, yeah.
You have a lot more fresh experience. I have not hired writers in years and years and years. In fact, I used to have 24 writers for my site. Now I don't have any. But yeah, so you're kind of on the writer 2.0 train.
Well, I was going to ask. I can't imagine handling 24 writers.
Yeah, so let's just, before we get into the process, if you are going to have more than a couple of writers, so let's just say if your plan is to hire a writing team, so someone that I follow online is Copyblogger. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
You know, he has a whole team of writers now. He's had it for a long time, but you know, he's not managing. Well, I don't think he's doing anything anymore, but he's not managing those writers. So one of the things that's really important when you hire a team of writers is that you have someone under you who is in charge of them in more of like an editor role, because it's not going to help you if you are then managing all the content on top of managing the writers. So if you're hiring one or two writers, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today, it's something that you as an individual, a solopreneur, can manage pretty easily. But if you want to build out a writing team, your first hire before a writer should be an editor.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So I'm doing something a little different. I think the way I'm going to do it is I ultimately want to be the voice of the blog. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the writer do all of the writing, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go through and edit it and make it sound like it came out of my mouth.
So ideally, what would that look like for you? Let's just say you already have your writer. So you have Susie, and she is one of your writers. How does that work for you from beginning to the publishing of the post?
So she writes all the guts of the post, and I already wrote down like a document of guidelines on how I want it. Mm-hmm. I write the intro, I write the conclusion, and then I might adjust, you know, over time, hopefully I won't have to adjust any of the real content. But in this first iteration, I'm going to. And then that's it. Goes out the door.
And so your job in all of this, you have several things that you're doing. First of all, you're picking the content, so they don't get to pick the content.
Well, this is the first iteration.
Right.
Like, I actually have this document that I'm still working on, which is how to research topics.
Okay, so you eventually want them to also research the topics.
That's correct. Eventually, I want to do nothing but just, like, Sunday morning we'll roll around and I'll see this thing in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell a story or so in the intro or whatnot, and then it just goes out the door.
So what about keywords and things like that? Are you seeding them in a spreadsheet as well, or is that going to be on them to come up with that too?
Well, so the final thing, the final vision I have is they're doing the keyword research.
Okay.
And then they'll send me something in Slack that says, hey, this week's article will be about this keyword. You know, with this search volume and KD, what do you think? And I'll be like, okay, yeah, go for it. I think for me, though, I already have like this spreadsheet of keywords, so it's okay. Not going to get to that point for a very long time.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this out here to you because you're a little bit of a control freak. This seems like you're giving up a lot of control.
Yes, that's the goal.
Okay, so let's talk about how that makes you feel, Steve.
I've done this. This isn't the first time I've done this, actually.
I know, I'm teasing you.
But I mean, the goal, it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Like I bet this, so I have two articles. I just found two writers. Okay. And we're doing a trial right now. And I'm pretty sure it's going to come back not sounding anything like me. I gave this 4-page document on guidelines, but it's probably not going to completely get followed.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to mark it up in Google Docs and explain to them, you know, my changes. And why I made those changes. And then it's just going to be an iterative process. Now, if someone totally bombs this trial, then I'm just not going to use them again.
Okay.
But let's just say I posted one job posting and I got over 200 replies.
Okay.
So I had this huge list of people that I can just go down now.
Okay, so let's let's start from the very beginning. First of all, are you looking, I'm assuming from how you want to set this up, you're looking for people to be writing for you consistently. So you're not looking for freelance articles. You're looking for someone who will be basically on the team creating 1 to 2 articles, I guess, a month based on your normal publishing schedule.
Once per week, actually.
Once per week. Okay.
Yeah. My goal is to actually get 2, maybe 3 writers that can post once per week. And these are pretty monstrous articles, right? Yeah. We're talking 2,000 to 4,000 words.
Okay. So you want 3 people posting. So you're going to have more articles on your blog every week now?
I am. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you're upping the content amount.
Yes.
Interesting. These are big changes.
Well, I told you what I was doing.
Well, I know.
Goal is to actually not be involved. I mean, my end goal is to not be involved, actually. Like, if they can write like me, they can write the intro and whatnot. That's just going to take time. I'm just being realistic here.
Yeah. Okay. So your goal is to get 2 to 3 people who are going to publish 1 article a week. Hopefully, at some point, you will be able to remove yourself from most of the process. And then what are you going to do?
I'm going to turn those into YouTube videos. Okay. I think YouTube, so I think in a prior episode, which I don't know if we've published yet, writing has just become commoditized, right?
Yes, that comes out next week. So this you'll hear this podcast, but you'll have already heard the one about the commoditizing,
right.
Is that a word? Of yeah. Writing, yeah.
But what can't be commoditized is video.
Yes.
So what I'll do is I'll take these posts and I'll probably trim them down for YouTube and then add more stories and whatnot, mm-hmm. Turn them into videos, and you can't outsource that.
Correct.
Right. And then I'm going to turn some of these into potential podcasts. And then I'm sure each article can be broken down into multiple TikToks in some way.
So basically this is the wrong word, but you're trying to basically make a content farm for then you to pull from for all your other properties.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me, like I mentioned before, I write between 4 and 6 hours right now on Sunday morning. But I went back and just thought about it. And most of that time is actually research.
Yep.
Right, and organizing the categories. If someone else does that, and all I have to do is just kind of edit it. Mm-hmm. I can edit pretty quickly. I can probably edit an article probably in an hour.
Okay. I think we need to record another podcast in like 6 months to see how this is going.
Yes. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about hiring a writer, because you have had, I think in the past, good experiences, bad experiences. I have hired many writers. You've done something a little bit different. I'll just quickly go over how I did it back in the day, because I think you can still use this technique, especially if you are in the lifestyle space. I don't think this works as well for someone who's in either the personal finance space or the, what is it, your money, your life sort of space. But I think if you are in the lifestyle space, you can still do it this way. My favorite way for finding people is to pull from your fans. Obviously, you need to make sure that they're capable of creating the content, whether it be recipes, tutorials, you know, things like that. Photography becomes very important. So, you know, they have to be able to take good photos of whatever they're doing if you're in the lifestyle space. But I found all of my writers basically from people who read my site. And, you know, for the most part, I would say 80% of those writers over time really did a great job. And I would say probably 10%, it was more due to like poor management on my part. You know, there are people that probably just needed a little more direction and I did not give it to them because my whole goal was to not have to do it. And then 10% of the people just weren't that great. Like they did a good job, but it wasn't right for my site. And the problem is that because I hired from people that were my fans, I had a hard time. I had a hard time getting rid of them because it was more personal. It wasn't just, oh, I found you on online jobs PH or something like that. It was, oh, you've been reading my site for 10 years and now I'm going to tell you no one cares about what you're writing about. So that was a little bit of an issue. The benefit of getting pulling from your fan base is usually you can pay them a little bit less, because to them, writing it for you is a privilege. Like, I'm trying to think of someone that I like idolize. If there's someone that I idolized, if Reggie Miller wanted me to like help him write content for his blog, he probably wouldn't have to pay me. Right? I would be so
sure.
excited. You know, not that I'm the Reggie Miller for somebody, but I could be. And, you know, so in that way, you don't have to pay them what you would necessarily pay a freelancer or a per word sort of thing or things like that. But also on the flip side of that, usually they're not writers by training. And so there's a lot more editing that needs to happen and a lot more cleanup that needs to happen. But that's how I did it. I actually still think that's a great idea if you're in certain niches. It doesn't work for everybody. I was talking to our friend Lars last week when we were at ECF. He has a gardening site. He has writers. They're all gardeners. He does have to do some cleanup on their stuff. And I think he was telling me their photos aren't – they're terrible photographers. But he's compensated with that from the fact that they're like master gardeners, so they can provide really great information. So when you pull from that, you're probably going to have give and take where they're going to be really great at certain things and not so great at the other things. So that's what I did. But you've gone about it completely different and probably a much better strategy.
I don't know about that.
Well, depending on the niche that you're in, I think.
So number one, I don't need any photos at all.
Yes, that's a huge benefit for you.
And two, I've actually hired fans before to write guest posts on the blog. This is a long time ago, though. In my experience, they did a decent job.
Yeah.
However, they were much flakier, like in their output. Right. So they might do like one a month, or sometimes it'd be like, oh, I'm not going to do one this month because it's not their job.
Right.
Right. I guess if I had a fan whose job was writing, which I think would be pretty rare.
They could have a background in something like that, though.
Yeah. And then, you're paying them less or not at all in some cases. So there's really, it's hard to get consistent output, even though the output is decent. There's also more back and forth, I found.
Yes, for sure.
Whereas if you hire a professional, this is what they do. They're going to meet their deadlines and whatnot. So that's why I went for that route. Although I was suggested by, who did I talk to recently? That was like, hey, just send out an email saying, hey, does anyone want to write for you? And then just by volume, you can probably get consistent output.
So one of my clients did that when they were looking for a photographer. So they emailed their list and basically said, we're hiring. And they, you know, they had a very, it's a job, right? It's not like we want you to take a couple photos here and there. And I think if you have a decent sized email list, that actually is a good way because, I mean, she got applications from legitimate people whose photography is their full-time job. Mm-hmm. She did the same thing for a graphic designer, found a great graphic designer from her audience who is a graphic designer. They were just looking for work. So I think that's definitely an option to do, especially if your email list, you know, if you have 10,000 plus or more people on your email list, you might get some good applicants, but that only works if you have a decent size following, because what'll happen is you'll probably just get people that are fans that don't have any experience and then you're sifting through junk.
Yeah. And just to give you an idea, let me actually just pull up the spreadsheet right now. So I sent out a job posting, and I got over 200 replies. And so here's how I do it. I have this color coding system, and I always ask for sample posts and the same spiel. And then as I read them, what I do is I highlight on the spreadsheet. Red means absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Green means good. Yellow means like second tier, you know, if they're cheap, maybe I would give them a try if I get to that point. So I'm looking at my sheet right now, and out of the 200, I have about 10 greens.
Okay.
Right?
Out of 200. So what is that?
Yeah, what is that, Tony?
Is that 5%? Is that 5%?
It is, yes, it's 5%.
Look at me. Yeah. Look at my math skills just coming through in my old age.
By the way, going through 200 applications takes a long time.
Okay.
So I spent like most of the weekend kind of going through these. I have like maybe 5 yellows, but most of them are red.
Okay, so just curious, because are you going to talk about where you posted this?
Yeah, so I use the ProBlogger job board.
Okay, so I'm curious because I believe previously, and I might be remembering this incorrectly, you used overseas writers. Have you ever done that, correct?
That's correct. So I actually used onlinejobs.ph for my first iteration. That ratio was much worse. I will not do that again. I think out of 100 applicants, I had one or two people that were even remotely qualified. I think it's just not to say that they're bad writers. Mm-hmm. They just write in a different way. They use words like bespoke.
Words that we don't know the meaning of. We have to look
right,
up.
Right. They use different words that's more formal, and that's just not the way I want things to be written.
Because a lot of people do go overseas to get content creators and have had decent success. I know, I think Mike Jackness was telling us that he uses overseas writers for his entire, for one of his entire blogs. I can't remember which one.
I think it's different. So he... Yeah. And he does have good writers. I think he writes for brands. Like writing product-focused copy is a little different.
Yeah.
I know he does have a writer that writes for Ecom Crew also, like e-commerce stuff. But most of the good stuff on his blog is written by Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you decided not to go onlinejobs.ph for a writer, and you went to the Pro Blogger job boards.
Correct.
Does it cost any money to do that?
Yeah. So it's $75 for a basic listing, $150 for a premium listing.
Okay.
So
you
the
went
premium
for the basic?
No, I went for the premium.
Really?
I did.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Money bags.
I went for the premium because it's featured, and I just don't want to waste time, right?
Right.
It's literally just featured at the top above all the other ones.
Okay, so you said you got 200 responses. What exactly did you post, and then what did you request from them in the application process?
I mean, we'll post the actual job posting in the course.
Okay.
But basically, I did the standard. I talked about what I wanted in the application. I actually used a Google form where I asked questions. I asked where they were from.
Okay.
And... Because, you know, what's ironic about this is there's a bunch of Filipino writers that applied, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people from Africa, of all places. Yep. Nigeria, Kenya. There's people from India, all over the place, actually. So onlinejobs.ph kind of limits yourself to just the Philippines, whereas this job board. And onlinejobs.ph, if I remember correctly, it's $79 a month.
It is a monthly fee. Of course, you can always do it post and then cancel. But yeah, there's a monthly recurring fee.
But I got like probably 3x more applicants through the Pro Blogger boards. And they're all very targeted towards writing. So I think better bang for the buck and better applicants also.
Yeah. And they're able to expand the search for not just the Philippines, but basically anywhere in the world.
Correct. Yeah. But basically, I mean, I asked for SEO experience, writing samples, how much they wanted, and where they were from. This is essentially what I asked for.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to your color coding, just because I noticed you like to color code things.
Yes.
So here's what I do not like about color coding, if you're going to put stuff in a spreadsheet. Because you can't, can you sort by color?
I can't, but there's no reason for me to sort these. But yes, you're correct. Right. That is a big negative.
Yes. So I would, if it was me doing this, just the one thing that I would probably change is I would probably do a drop down menu in a column with basically the words red, yellow, green, and then just, you know, give them, just click the drop down. And that way you can quickly sort out people that
way.
Because let's just say, I know you didn't have very many of the green, but let's just say out of 200, you had 37 that were green.
Right.
Then it's kind of a pain in the butt to like rank people. You know what I mean? You can do, or honestly, I would even think about giving them like a score 1 to 5, 5 being like the best. And that way, even the greens could be like 4s and 5s. So then you could even rank your top people.
Yeah, that'd be a better way to do it. At first I did that. I had a column where I said, okay, contact this person, contact this person. But then like I went back through it and I was like, I can't see, like it's hurting my eyes.
All this manual labor.
So I just need it like in your face. So yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you got your applicants, you got 200, and now you've whittled it down to, I can't remember what you said, 5 people?
Basically 5 for this first round where I emailed them and I just had them on a Zoom call and just, I had this document that I gave them to read. We went over a sample post already that's on my blog, just my style. Like, so I gave him an assignment, basically a keyword. And then I said, hey, I got a similar article on my blog already. Mm-hmm. Like, it's similar style, right? Kind of like a list post. Let's just use it as an example.
Yep.
And I said, read this. Here are the guidelines that I want you to follow as you write. Like, be concise. I don't want any filler. Don't even bother writing the intro because I'm not going to use it. Mm-hmm. And just give me the meat of the post and try to answer the question or the query for that keyword as concisely as possible. We're not going for word count. It doesn't matter what the word count is. You just need to answer these questions in the post.
Okay. So have you had anything turned in yet?
I have not. I literally just started this the day we got back from ECF, which was Thursday.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so now they're in the trial period. And what is your... did they all get the same article?
Or did they you give not. Them different They're getting different ones. Because no matter what, I'm going to use them.
Do they know that? Did you have to disclose that?
That I'm going to use these articles?
Yeah.
That was an assumption, right? I mean, they're writing it for me.
But you're not paying them.
No, I'm paying them, of course. This is a paid trial.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. That was because some people don't do paid trials, so that's why I was asking.
Oh. Okay, no. This is definitely a paid trial. I'm giving them what they asked for.
Okay. And so what were the rates that people were asking for just in general?
Anywhere from 3 cents to 10 cents per word.
Okay.
Although I found anyone who is less than 5 cents was just pretty bad.
Okay.
So I didn't go with any of those. In fact, the ones that are trials are some of the more expensive people. 7 cents, 8 cents. It doesn't matter. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like the cost of the article, I mean, if it's well written and it's going to save me like 4 or 5 hours, it's worth it for me. That's how I rationalized it.
So a 2,000 word post would be $200.
Well, yeah, if it's 10 cents, yeah.
Right. I'm just using the max or the top one. So $200. You want between what, 2,000 and 6,000 words? So you could
two be paying, and 4,000.
2,000 and 4,000. So you could be paying up to $400 a post, which really is not that much. I don't know what freelance writer. Do you know what freelance writers charge these days? Someone like a Holly Johnson or Miranda.
Oh, I do know what Miranda charges, but it's a little ridiculous.
Okay, I'm sure it's high.
Yeah, she'll charge like $1,000, like a buck a word.
Yeah, but she's also, I mean. I'm assuming with
Miranda, she also has a reputation, so it's different.
Yes. Yeah, there's probably very little that goes on editing wise after she turns something in. It's probably used basically.
So here's how I can justify all this stuff. So one, the article is probably going to rank at some point.
Yep.
Two, it's going to be turned to a YouTube video. And on average, my YouTube video just makes $100 in like the first week of publication and just ads. But it's going to make more than that in the lifetime of the video.
Yep.
And then the TikToks are kind of intangible, I guess. I don't know what they're worth yet. But the research aspect of it and just the ability for me to incorporate affiliate offers and all these things, it's going to easily pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that the dollar is going to zero value makes it even more of a no-brainer.
When they start asking to be paid in gold coins.
Yeah, right. Or Bitcoin, you mean?
Yeah. So. Okay, so this is interesting. So your plan is to never write again.
Well, no, I'm still
never
writing.
Never write again.
I'm still writing. Okay, this is the other piece. If I'm going to write, I'm going to focus on the fluff pieces. That's my goal. Because those are actually fun for me to write.
Yes.
And they actually add to just my personality, whereas these other articles aren't really going to.
Okay, so let's wrap up this writing process, hiring process. So they're currently assigned a sample article that you will eventually use. You are paying them.
Yes.
We'll definitely clarify that. And I would recommend that people do that in general.
Otherwise, people aren't going to do it.
Well, they're not going to do their best. And there's also going to be an issue with using the content. Like, you cannot use the content if you don't pay those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're paying them for this content. You'll eventually use it. You have five people that you've asked to submit. What if all five hit a home run? Will you take all five?
Yes.
Okay.
I will. I'll just have them kind of alternate or whatnot if I don't.
Yeah.
But, realistically, I'll just pay all of them. I'll have them output one a week.
Okay. And then So the other question is, these are writers. They're definitely writing for other people because they're not going to live off of your two or three articles a month.
Correct.
Most likely. So what about like writing for your competitors or anything like that? What are the
not worried
the
at
standard
all.
There? Not a word. Okay.
Because I'm going to be
writing similar articles.
If they're writing similar articles, that's fine.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be turning this into my own stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually you said your goal is to not even have to do that.
It is, but realistically, you know me. I'm probably going to always have my hand in someone. I mean, the goal is to just lessen my time by like 5x.
Okay.
Right. Because right now it takes me a long, long time to do these things.
Yeah. Okay, so you'll take all five. Hopefully you'll get five. And then what are we doing with those yellows? Those are on hold.
The yellows are just kind of backups. Okay. The only good news about the yellows is that they're cheap.
Okay.
So I might do a trial with one. If it kind of works out, then, you know, maybe the yellow might make sense. But, you know, realistically, how much am I going to save here? I mean, we're talking like, you know, half. So $100 an article versus $200, but something that might take me longer to edit, it's probably not worth my time.
Yeah. I would say, would you use not necessarily publish an article, but use it for TikTok and YouTube?
No.
Or does everything on TikTok and YouTube have to
TikTok,
go back to
TikTok, I always have to do my own thing. Like I just take the basic concept or the research and I have to like, you know, put up a really good hook for it. And that takes creativity.
Yeah. So this is a question because it sounds like what the time issue for you has always been in the creativity side or the research side. You know, the writing part doesn't take you as long. It's all the background information and research. Why not just hire people to research the articles? Would that be cheaper?
That's what they're doing.
They're also writing it, like putting it together.
Oh, I see.
Like making you an outline or, you know what I mean? Just something that you can write off of. Does that even exist as a position?
Probably. It probably does, but that saves me less time.
Right. No, I'm just didn't know if there was like a cost benefit to that or.
Oh, I'm sure putting together the outline and the research would cost just as much, right? Because you have to still write it down.
Yeah.
You're just not making it sound as good, I guess. So maybe it'd be slightly cheaper. I don't know.
Okay. And then my other question is, you know, you have a pretty strong standard on your site about not writing about tools and services that you aren't using personally. And a lot of your site does have content about, you know, things that you've tried. I mean, I think that's one of the real highlights of My Wife Quit Her Job is that people read it because they want to see what your experience was getting something set up or using a different tool or software. So how does that play into everything?
So if there's something on there that I haven't used before, and there are things that I haven't used before, it's just going to be just the straight facts about the service, essentially.
Will you still be writing some of the things that you're using or tools that you use?
This is where the editing comes into place, right? So if they write something about something I'm actively using, the first part of that section, let's say, is going to be the facts about the service.
Yeah.
And then I'll just add, you know, a paragraph that says, hey, I use this for my store. And then chances are I've done a case study for it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Where are the case studies? I'm
writing
those. Doing those.
Yeah. Okay. Those are fun to write.
Okay.
I'm trying to outsource everything that's not fun to write. I actually used to enjoy doing these things. And then the only reason for all this, I don't know if we published that episode yet, but Google's algorithm basically takes all the fun and creativity of any writing that you want to rank. So the goal is for those articles I want to rank, I'm going to outsource those. For anything that people actually will want to read, I'm going to write that. And that's actually more fun.
Okay. That will be published before this one comes out, so people will hear it.
Yes. So that's the goal. I think it's a solid strategy. I'm at peace with it because I'm going to draw them in and keep, you know, they'll find me through search. I'll get them on the email list, and then they'll get to know me through videos and the other case studies and all that stuff that made me popular in the first place.
Okay, so now that you're freeing up some time, just segueing into a little bit of something else, you know, one of the things we've talked about in the past, I don't know, maybe 6 months, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, we've talked about it offline, is beefing up the emails. Right now, when you send an email, you just send out links, basically, to what you're doing. We talked about one of our students, David Crable, who has a great email newsletter on the cottage food industry, which actually his email came in this morning, and it's a novel. It has links and things back to his content, but it is a full article in the email. Any thoughts on maybe changing that up a little bit, or are you going to continue with how you're doing it now?
I mean, I can't think that far ahead, but the goal is to make that email newsletter a lot better. Here's one of the ideas I might have had. I was considering doing a paid newsletter.
Okay.
Right? Because if I'm going to spend the time doing it and it's going to be really informative, I'll be incentivized to do a better job. And this is going to be a really cheap newsletter. It's not going to be like expensive, but it's, you know, if someone's paying me like $5 a month or $10 a month, something like that, that'll really make me want to write something that's really good. With my regular newsletter, it's a good question because I really want to promote what I have on that regular newsletter.
Right.
I can't think of a really good way. I guess I could write more. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. But the paid newsletter model intrigues me.
Yeah, did you think about that from last week, or is this something that's been going on?
This is something that's been going on in the back of my mind ever since, you know, Sam Parr and The Hustle with his paid newsletter.
Yeah.
And I think Chase has one, too, now.
He has something. He has an upgrade. I'm not sure what exactly it is.
Yeah,
but yes,
like a paid newsletter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my existing newsletter, people are still opening it, and they're reading it because they want to see what I've published for the week.
Right.
So it accomplishes that goal. I guess I could put that content in the email itself. I'm not sure how I can make it better outside of just telling some stories about what's going on in my life, I guess, that people might be interested. I don't know. What would you suggest?
My very first thought when you started talking was maybe you need to do two, right? Two emails a week, because right now you do one.
Right.
So maybe you do two. One is just your link email, you know, where you're like, hey, here's my YouTube video. Here's what I wrote about. Here's the podcast kind of thing. And then the second email would be a more informative email that goes to one of the pieces of content. So I don't think your videos and your content align like right now. Like when you publish a YouTube video, you didn't necessarily publish a piece of content on that same topic that week. They're different.
They're correct? Different. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking, that was the case. So maybe, you know, you promote the podcast and YouTube and, you know, whatever in the one email. And then the second email is more in depth and links to that piece of content.
I actually don't even send out my blog posts anymore. I don't know if
As I was talking, I was thinking, I don't think he even links to the blog posts.
I don't, because there's no reason to.
Why?
Because it doesn't affect anything.
Getting traffic to the blog post doesn't help it?
It doesn't.
You don't even care if you're, don't you think your email people signed up to know what you're writing about?
Well, those posts will eventually become a video.
Has anyone ever said anything to you?
No.
Interesting. This is a whole nother recording. We need to like cover this another day, but.
The posts are purely there for lead gen.
What about your fluffs?
The fluffs I send out, but the fluffs are actually better when I make a video out of it. Right? Because I can, you know, narrate it much better than a written piece of content can.
Okay.
I don't know. I would rather watch the video personally, because I can actually add graphics and annotations to it that make it more interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you prefer to read fluff or watch fluff?
Read fluff. The problem is if it's fluff, then, you know, and it's a video, then there's only so much time I have to watch videos with sound.
I see.
And whereas like if I'm, so for example, like I'm sitting in car line, right? I'm probably going to read something over watch it.
Well, the fluff piece also turns into a podcast.
Right. Because here's what happens. Like when I'm in my car, my phone's attached to my Bluetooth and my stereo. So then there's a delay on a video. So it's like, I'll never watch a video in my car because it's too annoying because there's a sound delay.
Sure.
But I read through stuff. I mean, that's kind of when I catch up on anything that I want to read if I'm just sitting there. Like yesterday I was at the orthodontist, and I think you can go in now, but, you know, for a long time you couldn't go in the office. Your kid just went in and, you know, then they came out and talked to you because of COVID. So, I mean, I just sit in the car and like read through articles and stuff that I wanted to catch up on. It's usually what I do.
I think it makes sense to maybe send them out on different mediums.
Yeah.
And then you give the person a choice what they want to read. whether they want to read or how they want to consume it. But just lately, I haven't been sending out the posts because I think I can do a much better job either in audio or video. It's more personal.
That makes sense.
Because it's a fluff piece. So first of all, anyone listening to this, when we talk about fluff piece, we're talking about like non-teaching type of material. Yeah. It's more like
life lessons, life stories.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So for those things, it's always better, I think, on either a podcast or a video. I don't think my writing is good enough to do it justice that I could do in a video, let's just say.
Okay, so let's wrap this up with the writing part. We got sidetracked a little bit, but I'm super curious about all that other stuff. We'll do that on another podcast. So for hiring writers, I think one thing we didn't talk about that we probably should talk about a little bit before we end is you had a process for your writers. You had a Google form for them to fill out. You had some standards. I think one of the mistakes people make is when they go to hire somebody, they don't have a process for finding people. So, you know, they'll say like, oh, send me a sample or do this. And then you end up, if you didn't have a Google form and you got 200 like email responses or something where the information couldn't be easily sorted, that would be a nightmare.
Yes.
So make sure that, and you want to be able to judge people on the same standards. So if you just let people do willy-nilly, that's not going to work. So make sure before you post anything anywhere, you have some sort of a form or a process or a web page set up, landing page set up, where they can go through and follow very specific steps that you want them to do. Because I think the other thing that you want to make sure is that they can actually follow your directions.
Yeah. So I actually have this one field, and I just did this because I was just curious what people would write. But I had this paragraph, why do you want to write articles for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I had that section because I wanted to know if people would actually Google the site and read mm-hmm. about it. So I actually had a very small fraction, I would say around 5%, say, hey, I went to your site. I really like your articles. I really enjoyed your CNBC special. Those people instantly get like a boost, right? Well, no, they don't have to kiss butt. But the fact that they actually went to the site and read some of the posts.
Oh, Steve, your skin looks so flawless on television. What is your secret?
But that takes initiative.
Yes. So that's the thing. So I think before you go to post, make sure you have something set up to where you can collect the responses and organize them so that you're able to process them without giving yourself 20 hours of work. It's still going to take time to go through everybody's information, but you want to make it as easy as possible for yourself. And then once you have that set up, you want to go to, you can email your list, put it on social media, use a site like onlinejobs.ph, the Pro Blogger job board. The nice thing about the Pro Blogger job board is that you are going to get like a worldwide pool of applicants, whereas like an onlinejobs.ph is just going to pull from the Philippines. So if you want to broaden your search, that's really helpful. And then once you get the applicants, you're going to need to go through them. I think the best idea is to rank them in some way, whether it's a number system, a color system, doesn't really matter. To get them ranked and then give them a sample job and make sure you pay them for it.
Yep. I'm actually not done with the search yet either. So I actually have a field that says, where did you find this posting? I'm actually going to send this form out to my email list too. And just may as well, just for completeness, see if there's anyone in my audience who wants to write. What's ironic about this is, I'm sure you get this too, but I probably get like 10 requests every day for like guest posts.
Yes.
And wanna, I'm tempted to just hit reply and say, hey, okay. Have you ever replied to any of those ever in your life?
Actually, I did the other day, but we'll have to talk about it offline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was feeling super snarky. I would create like a canned response or a macro in Gorgeous and reply that way.
Yeah. So I'm sending this exact same form out to my list. Maybe I'll get some winners. And if those people that are on my list are willing to just even contribute one article a month, that might be a good supplement. I'm willing to try things out. As of right now, I've only posted on the Pro Blogger job boards. There are a few other job boards that I might consider trying, but if I get 2 to 3 solid writers, I'm already good for now. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.